Well, welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subscreen Track 5, Geographic Names at the Top Level Call on the 16th of May, 2018. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants on the meeting. If you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, this is Jeff Newman. I'm only on audio for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Carlos Gutierrez, I'm on audio only. Thank you.
Right. And as a reminder to all participants, if we would please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not to visible any background noise during this call. With this, I will turn the meeting back over to Javier Rua. You may begin.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is Javier Rua Jover for the record. I will be co-chairing this call today, World Track 5 call today. As you know, I'm from the ALAC. The agenda was sent out by email, and I hope you all had a chance to see it. Emily, if you please could put the slide on with the agenda, et cetera. Next slide, please. So, yeah, welcome. I don't know if there's any SOI updates out there. Anybody from staff, maybe? Hearing none. So, today we're gonna, as you can see, we have, you know, really two major agenda items here. Number two is administration and capturing of input, managing of input. That's going to be a short discussion. It's really summarizing how we're trying to reflect the discussions going on in a purposeful and useful manner. And agenda item three, geographic name process review, which, as you might have seen from the slides, there's several procedural slides, you know, flowchart type of slides that try to take a snapshot of the current situation in the guidebook, how things move along in the process. So with that said, let's go to the next slide, perhaps slide number three with agenda item two. And this is assuming is that nobody else has a comment, that everybody agrees with the agenda. Any comments there? Hearing none, thank you. And I want to please tell the other colleagues, I think Annabeth is in the call, and also people from staff, that any hands that I might miss, that I will probably miss, are pointed out, and I have no problem being interrupted for you know, hands and cue, and also relevant comments in the chat. So in this slide, administration, capturing, and managing input, what the colleagues want to communicate to the word track is that, you know, as we all know, we've been having great conversations in the chat, in the mailing list, big conversations, really since the face-to-face meeting in San Juan, and of course in these calls, and what we want to try to do is we're actually doing it. We gave some instructions to staff. The colleagues gave some instructions to staff to put together a document, an easy to manage document, maybe a narrative document that clearly, categorizes and divides the different threads and the different positions in a way that everybody can easily understand. Please mute. I can see some background noise. In a way that everybody can easily understand, so that we can be more effective in our conversations. I think There have been great back and forth, in the email, and even today on very specific issues, and that document is still a work in progress. We don't have a name for it, but it's kind of like a narrative, a pro and con type of document. It's a work in progress. We still cannot share it because it's not quite ready for prime time. But we'll share it as soon as possible for your comments and the communities and the work tracks feedback on it. We've seen some early drafts we're discussing, and we just want to make this as transparent and easy to understand as possible. So on that, does anybody have any comments or any questions, anything they want to add?
Xavier?
Yes.
It's the two hands up. Heather Forrest and Christopher Wilkinson have their hands up.
Perfect. Heather, go ahead.
Thank you, Javier, very much. This is Heather Forrest. I think the document is a great idea, but I have a question as well. So I thought it was a great idea, a fantastic email chain that was started by Liz Williams. The title of it was something to do with city names. And I had a number of points in that I wanted to respond to in detail. And I hesitated only because I realized I was going to be the 73rd post to that chain. And the comments that I had to make weren't just about city names. They were about other things, and other people had that problem as well. I wondered, is there another way, you're talking about effectiveness. Is there somehow that we can be recording comments that's more effective than these super long email threads? I mean, I think the email is super useful because it's impossible. If you try and keep your intervention here on the call short and not monopolize the call, you can't give the full background and examples and everything else. So I just wondered, had the co-leads thought about any other mechanism for capturing input in that sense, not just, capturing it second, putting it all in one place after it's all been submitted. Thanks, honey.
Thank you, Heather. Yes, that's precisely what we want to do with this document that we haven't, circulated yet among the work track. It's not really a word-by-word codification of things. It's more, the positions that are being taken on particular issues for or against or the comments and the different positions. That's what we're trying to do. The email, I encourage you to put your comment in there. It please do. But yes, the whole idea is that sometimes, of course, in the email list, things might get lost. But we're doing, and staff is also doing an incredible job in getting everything together, and they're really following up on the co-leads instructions really in a really detailed form. The draft that I saw of that document is, I like it a lot, and it requires some more work, but our hope is that it will do exactly as you wish. It's a way to be effective and in a more condensed and manageable form than scattered email lists. Please, if somebody can mute, I can hear their typing. Heather, I hope that answers your question. I don't know if another co-lead might want to chip in, maybe Annabeth?
This is Annabeth. I'm trying to answer Heather on the chat as well. I think that even if it's the long email list, I understand you completely. That was totally difficult, very difficult to follow, Heather. But if you have substantive input, I think you should write it in a separate email because everything will be captured by us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Annabeth. I see your points. I see your points on the chat, and I see Heather's points also. Great.
And Christopher still has his hand up.
I see it. Christopher, go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Christopher Wilkinson for the record. I very much sympathize with Heather's concern. I can't possibly follow on an hourly basis all the threads that are emerging from this discussion. This is why, from time to time, I have summarized my point of view in a substantive comment, including a PDF comment copy. So I look forward to this document from the staff and from the co-chairs, and I very much hope that it will indeed encapsulate all the substantive comments that have been made, including perhaps some of my own. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. I can tell you that from what I've seen so far, it really does reflect the feelings of the work track on specific points. I hope the community will take it as a great document when it comes out. So I see Emily's hand up, I think, or is it down?
Portia and Emily.
Hi, Javier. This is Emily. This is Emily from staff. Yeah, I can just briefly speak to the process that from the staff side we're going through to try to consolidate some of the feedback that's been received so far. And indeed, as all of you are working to try to follow the rather large volume of email and the various threads, staff too is working diligently to try to sort through that information and kind of bring the pieces together in a way that's perhaps structured a little bit more coherently. And the hope there is that this is very much a working document. This is very much something that requires feedback, that if you see things left out or you feel like a point you captured or you made was not captured properly, the idea is that, you know, this is evolving and something that we can continue to use to frame discussions. And I think it may also be helpful then for us to take chunks of that document and look at them in pieces and structure some conversations around that. And that might help to focus the conversations a little bit in terms of because obviously there are these different threads and many of them are overlapping and intersecting. And it's easy for conversations to go in many directions. So we're hoping that it might be a tool to help structure some of these conversations, Heather, as you said, potentially on the wiki, in the Google Doc, and so forth and so on. So that's the hope. We're obviously very much welcoming feedback in terms of other ways to help the group stay on track in terms of deliberations and let everyone make their points. So, of course, don't be shy to provide that input as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you. So I also see Jorge's hand up. Jorge, please go ahead.
Hello, do you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hello, good evening from Europe. Jorge Cansi for the record. I would like to refer also to comments I have made previously. I think that this is a very good initiative from colleagues and staff, and I think that it's essential that in summing up the different points of view, nobody is lost, nobody is forgotten of those who maybe with only one email have supported one point of view or the other. And I think that also in this setting of the Work Track 5, it is important to map a little bit where the different people are coming from in terms of SOs and ACs and of regions, because that gives us also an impression of where the traction is going. So I would really like to urge the colleagues that whatever the process we follow, we keep the barriers of entry as low as possible, and we don't force people explicitly or implicitly to have to repeat the points one time and another in different formats, Google Docs or Sheets, and so that we really get the most of the value of the long and extensive discussions we had on the emailing list. And I'm sure that staff will be more than able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. And to that point, let me say that you know, I appreciate I'm something like a junior member here, and in many ways I do appreciate documents that take into account comments that, you know, without being difficult in terms of access. I think you mentioned low entry level, or, you know, that's a good way to put it. So no barriers. From what I've seen, the comments are getting in there. Older comments and the newer comments are getting in there. So are there any hands? Jorge, you hand this up. I think that's an old hand. I think that's old. Does anybody else have any comment on this topic? Have any of the co-leads or staff seen any comments in the chat that we could read out, or because I haven't been really paying attention to that chat that much. My non-multitasking, go ahead.
This is Emily from staff. I actually just wanted to respond to a comment from Liz in the chat who raised a suggestion about asking staff if there was the possibility of the idea of building a schematic that shows like a temperature gauge. Oh, terrible background noise. Please mute if you're, thanks. I think we're back on track. A suggestion from Liz that staff build sort of a temperature gauge of where we're headed in terms of consensus for different positions. And I just wanted to clarify that the document that's being prepared right now is a summary of positions and points of view, but is not an attempt to gauge consensus at this point, because it's really not the role of staff necessarily to be gauging that consensus. It's the role of the co-leaders within the work track. So I wanted to clarify that a little bit, that of course we'll be continuing to draft documents and reflect anything that the co-leaders have determined with respect to consensus levels, but at this point that's not kind of where we are yet in terms of what we're trying to capture. So I just wanted to put that as a point of clarification. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Yes, and definitely gauging levels of consensus is a co-lead task, and we're not there yet. I mean, we want to, you know, map comments out there so that everybody's on the same page, literally, on where everybody else is. And it's a tool to facilitate, you know, future consensus level taking. On this topic, does anybody have any other comments? I don't think I see any hands in the queue. I think old hand. I know. All right. So I think, please, Emily, if we could change to the next topic, if there's no objection to this, and maybe the next slide. So, yeah, recent discussions have focused on issues related to the geographic names requirements and geographic names review in initial evaluation. There are a number of additional elements related to string contention and post-delegation that may be relevant to review and discuss. So what are we doing about this? So as you've seen from the slides, if you've had a chance and peruse through them, we have put together co-leads and staff and with some also early heavy lifting by Martin, particularly, you know, these flowcharts to try and in a very accessible way explain what the applicant guidebook of 2012 says in terms of DNAs. Maybe let's go to the next slide. We've been talking a little bit among the co-leads on the idea of what we're tasked to do is, you know, think about what's in the books in 2012 and how we can, I mean, if there's things to enhance, if we will enhance things, what are those things that we will change, if any? And we've been throwing the phrase around, which is really, it's really a bit old now, but the idea of thinking out, you know, outside of the box and trying to move this conversation along in a way that focuses on specific issues in the procedures that are in place and how to better them if they can be bettered and enhanced or you know, simplify them or modify them in any way. And, you know, I think one of the co-leads came up with the idea of let's just do flow charts. And it's the best way of thinking. It's a great tool for thinking outside of the box because you see the little boxes and circles and diamonds and other geometric shapes. And it's a very, to borrow from Jorge, a very low barrier to entry tool in terms of how to visualize this in a you know, from a bird's eye view like a general 100,000 foot view and then concentrate on little boxes. So on this slide, I mean, there's basically two slides on flowcharts here that we repeat along this this presentation, and in many ways we could give the whole call without moving forward a lot, but we'll move forward. So let's keep on moving forward. next slide, please.
Javier, it's just to let you know that I was kicked out of WebEx, so I can't see the hands anymore. They're trying to get me in, so just a few.
All right, so I don't see any, but I trust that the great people out there will help me out, including staff and perhaps Cheryl. And I don't know if Jeff can see hands, but anybody that can see hands, please interrupt me in any moment, and we can get the WordTrack members to discuss. So,
Javier, this is Carlos Gutierrez.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Thank you very much. I had a conversation before with Emily. I think the flowcharts are great. They're very, very interesting to read each one on its own. I see two problems on the format. That is a PDF format, very difficult to download, and it's a frozen format, so we cannot comment on the paper. I mean, it must have been 6 or 8 years ago that I mentioned that there are some things called mind maps that are very practical, that can be in the cloud, that are free, and everybody could play with the flowchart, and we should keep the idea of the flowcharts, but in a more flexible way. This is didactically top-down, very good, but very difficult for a conversation of 60 minutes over the phone to make amends. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. You mentioned this is a top-down tool. We don't see it that way. I mean, these flowcharts are not in any way prescriptive. We're submitting them to the WordTrack. If this is incorrect or if things can be moved around, please just suggest it. This is what we're going to do now. I'm sure there's tools.
I said the format is frozen. Nothing against the flowchart. They're great, but it's frozen into a PDF, so nobody can comment.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. You mean a more flexible technology to move stuff around. I see. I see what you're saying.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Thank you. So, we saw the prior flowchart, which is the general, process with a little, part that goes into GNNs, and that now this is GNNs, the GNNs process. So I trust some of you have seen these slides. I don't know if from a general perspective, besides Carlos, point on some sort of different technology to comment in the chart or move things around. Does anybody else have a comment, perhaps to Carlos's comment or to the slides themselves in general? Because we're going to go into different boxes as we move along. I see a hand by Christopher. Christopher, go ahead.
Hi, Javier. Muchas gracias. Just to say, first of all, congratulations to the staff for producing these slides at all. The technique required to do this is extraordinary. So I thank you all. From a policy point of view, I just have to put down a caveat. I'm not convinced that the 2012 exercise was successful at all in this particular field. And so I have in the back of my mind in reading these slides that's all very well, and it looks extremely logical and procedurally correct, but the final result was not particularly admirable from several points of view. So I have a caveat. I think it's very interesting historical exposition of what was supposed to happen in 2012, but I'm not at all convinced that this is the basis on which we would be able to go forward in the future.
Thank you, Christopher. Gracias, Christopher. I think the whole point that we're trying to, let me clarify something. So the first draft of the slides was definitely made by, it wasn't staff, it was Martin. He's not in the call, but I don't see a lot of difference from what he initially sent to the rest of the colleagues to this later version. So the heavy lifting in terms of drawing these slides out, reading them out of the AGB, was Martin. It wasn't staff, although of course our staff is awesome. Success or non-success of 2012, this is why we're here. I mean, these slides are really an excuse, a pretext for if this procedure. I mean, first to understand procedure, and if there's procedural changes that can be drawn into this. Into future slides of proposed processes, that would be a very didactic tool to turn those little new boxes into words into a future policy or future AGB. So that's what we're trying to do. And thank you for your comment, Christopher. So, I mean, this slide is also the particular GeoNet procedure as it comes out of the AGB, and you can see, of course, the different categories of geonames and the different levels of protections, or if I may, or whether they're completely disallowed or there's some way to get a non-objection letter or other type of authority approval. It's pretty simple in this procedure. Of course, as Christopher said, in real life, it might have not been as simple, but that's what we're here for. So in order to get into more detailed discussions, if nobody has any other comment, I don't see any hands. If anybody wants to respond to Christopher or any other comment or to me or any question to anybody else, please do so now, but we're going to keep on going into more detail as we go along. We're already 30 minutes into the call. This is an hour call, so we better move it along. And if we don't finish, we'll continue another call. We'll see how far along we can get. So let's go to the next slide to get into more detail, please, Emily. Okay, so in these slides, again, as you see, there's a section at the top that is really the applicant world, and a section at the bottom, which is kind of like is the ICANN world. And in the applicant world, we see, a rounded square, a circle square with a red line, which you know, is really the initiation or the beginning of a process. You know, as per the guidebook, and you know, the applicant says or doesn't say whether he thinks what he's applying, the string he or she is applying for is a geo name or not, and the process starts, and we can see the different boxes that have to do with, you know, as the process moves along, you know, we see some string contention processes in the end, and we'll be talking about that in the next few slides. Let's move along, please. The next slide. So, in the prior slide, we had the little box in the beginning, which is this. If the applicant believes that their string is a geographic name per section 2.2.1.4 of the AGB, they should indicate that such as such via question 21 and provide required support, non-objection. So that's the beginning. I mean, that's self-explanatory. If anybody has a comment on that, I sometimes the comments on this is, you know, why would somebody, you know, out of the goodness of their heart reveal whether they think it's a geo name or not. Geo name, I've seen some discussion there. I don't think that's something we, I don't know if somebody wants to discuss that right now, but I've seen it in the mail. I think it's, yeah, a relevant point if anybody wants to discuss it.
So I have my head up, Alexander.
Alexander, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So it's Alexander Schubert. It's Alexander Schubert. I'm not really sure that this can stay like this. It's not about whether the applicant believes the string is a geographic name. It's whether he is intending, or at least in the 2012 AGB, it was whether he is intending to use it in the realm of the geographic name. So there could be a string that is identical to a geographic name. Yeah, so this has to be kind of changed.
I agree completely, Alexander. It's not a belief, it's the intention, and that will be corrected, definitely. Thanks a lot for your comments. Thanks a lot. I missed that completely. You're correct. Is that somebody that wants to come in? No. So maybe we can go to the next slide if there's no comments, and we can move along.
Javier,
go ahead. Cabuz, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good night, good everything. In the slide 2 that you were quite quick, I did not see any decision box. For instance, I can begin evaluation. If there is anything in the evaluation, we need feedback, we need a decision box saying that the evaluation result was positive and evaluation result was required to go back to the applicant. So in the first slide, I saw two decision box, which more or less was appropriate, and in the second, I did not see any decision box. Everything going sequentially, one after the other. So all of these evaluation or examination, so on and so forth, might have, not necessarily, but might have some decision making that yes, everything is okay in accordance with the rules or not. So this is something that I did not see. And the second, I don't exactly know at what stage the applicant should provide the support or non-objection. At the earlier stage, at what stage? It should not be too early, it should not be too late, but before evaluation by ICANN,
yeah.
After evaluation by ICANN, these are not clear. And then I raised a question in the email today about this panel, the combination of the panel.
Perfect.
You don't allow me to talk? Okay, I stop.
No. Carlos, on your comments, I think they're very important. I think to keep on discussing with you right now, I think you should keep on going. But let's go. I think we should jump to slide number 12. and then we can look at that slide, Caboose, and I think you are. Let's go to number 12 and go to the next one. This is we see some of this kind of decision boxes here, and Caboose, let's look at this, and everybody else, let's look at this flow chart, and I mean, I see a comment by Jorge in the chat on normative or whether the accuracy of the slides. These slides are completely open for community for work track review, and these are suggested tools by us, and I welcome Caboose's comments and Jorge's comments on this and everybody else's. So in this box, we see, I think Caboose mentioned the geographic names panel. I think on the we can talk about that. On the mail list, I think the short thread had to do with a panel, some sort of instance early on in the process to facilitate conversations between parties. I don't think that's in the flowchart because it's not a procedure that's formally in place. I don't think maybe we can revisit that conversation from the mail list right now and just round it up and answer everybody else's questions, including Caboose's, on that panel. Maybe Jorge, you can summarize what you mentioned. I think then other people replied, and there seems to be some sort of level of agreement on early conversations, but then we saw very important concerns on the other side on substantive issues in terms of objective predictable norms that have to come hand in hand with that. So Jorge, if I can tell you, maybe we can relive that conversation today on the mail list regarding a panel that was kind of sparked by these flow charts, and I thought was very, very interesting. Did you go there, Jorge?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Caboose.
Excuse me.
Hello?
Wouldn't it be possible that you allow me that I finish my comment, then you comment? Is it possible or not?
Of course it is possible, Caboose. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I have not finished yet. I did not finish yet. I said that this is the first one. And second, I said that I made a comment about the panel. What is the duty of the panel? What is the composition of the panel? What is the responsibility of the panel? And what is the authority of the panel? And perhaps we have to. And then it's a question 21. I have not read the question 21. And I want that this document should be self-contained. We do not refer, if it is question 21, we should refer as indicated somewhere. So now I am finished, and now you can comment. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Caboose. I just wanted to make sure that your comment regarding your question in the email list was answered. I really found that conversation really interesting.
When you hear the phone, you will be there.
Sorry. Okay, please mute.
Turn it up a bit.
Xavier,
so
go
ahead, Annabeth.
Yeah, I just wanted to try to ask Caboose questions. I think that Hutch's suggestion today is more like it's things that we can consider. Would this be a good idea? And it's much too early to go into details if how it should be. What is the mandate and how it should be established and all that. The first thing, if I understood his suggestion right, was that is this a way to consider to try to prevent problems afterwards, to try to find another way to help the applicants before they apply, to sort out some problems and get some help, like an advisory body. I might have understand, but it's much too late to go into details there. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabeth. Thank you. I hope that answered.
Has he signed up now? So,
Jorge, go ahead.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello, this is Jose Canse again for the record. If we go back to slide number 10 or to slide number 9, I think that we will see that that first step, which is in a red circle, is really very important for applicants. Before they enter into the whole process, I guess that it's really key for them to have a certain level of certainty of whether the screens they are thinking about to make the application fits into one of the categories of geo names which will be established in the future applicant guidebook. So without prejudice to what categories there will be, let's assume that there will be at least some, and similarly to the 2012 AGB, and that in some of those categories, for instance, if the category of city names remains there, there might be cases where it is absolutely clear for the applicant whether their string really fits is a city name or not, because at least in the 2012 AGB, there were no authoritative lists of cities. So I think that this advisory panel, this idea of an advisory panel would help, would be a tool for the applicant to go to that advisory panel with its string, with its idea about this string, and get some level of certainty whether there might be a geographic name affected by this string. So, and my initial idea would be that similarly to the panel established for the geographic names review, which is part of the initial evaluation, this advisory panel should be expert, should be independent, and instead of making a determination, as is done by the geographic names review panel, this advisory panel would help, would advise, just in light of the future applicant guidebook rules. And this help would be on one side, as I said, in determining whether a string is a geoname according to the criteria laid down in the AGB. And also, it could help in identifying the public authorities that might be relevant for that case. And perhaps with the help also of ICANN.org and, if needed, of the GAC and its members, it could help in establishing the link between the applicant and the interested relevant public authorities, so that the contact is made, and if we go forward with the idea of a non-objection letter, that this non-objection letter is obtained as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And if we come up with our solutions after this contact, that these other solutions are sorted as quickly as possible. And this would avoid that the applicant invests too much money before having this certainty that he or she is dealing really with a string with geographic name implications. So that's really the idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I allowed this digression a bit, but we should again focus on process. Thank you, Jorge. And so I heard something in there. Did I hear somebody wanted to speak?
Javier, it's just Cheryl, just very briefly. Thanks for that, Javier. And this is an example of the type of iteration and interaction that's going to be extremely valuable. I think we need to put a pin in it now, though, but extremely valuable for us to come back to when we look at what changes may be proposed to this process. But do remember that right now we're asking for a sanity check and accuracy check on this process. We believe it's what has captured what happened in 2012. But before we want to start looking at overlaying specific changes, which is obviously the purpose of why you're all gathering for these meetings and the email list discussions, we wanted to make sure that everyone had a clear and agreed on snapshot of how the 2012 process went. Back to you, Javier.
And thank you, Cheryl, for that. And, you know, the of course, there might be a little bit of disagreement on these slides, but the whole idea is to limit that disagreement and try to gauge that people are kind of okay with the boxes that are presented here. So we saw this one already, and we can go to the next slide, please. What was the next one? Just text, we saw that. Let's go to the next one, please. So we generally saw this. This is the unnamed process in detail with the different categories. Does anybody have any additional comment on this as a general concept? I see no hands. I see no movement in the chat. Let's go to the next next slide, please. All applications and the respective strengths were included in the DNA review procedure, regardless if they were designated as such in the application. Applications that were designated by the applicant as a geoname could be determined to not be a geographic name based on the criteria in the IGD. Applications that were not designated by the applicant as a geoname could, in fact, be determined to be a geographic name based on the criteria in the IGD. Does anybody disagree with this comment, with this idea, with this concept? This is straight out of the AGD as an idea. I see a hand by Christopher. Go ahead, Christopher. Is that an old hand, Christopher?
No, it's not an old hand.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please. Can't seem to hear you, Christopher.
Right. Okay. As Cheryl knows from other calls, at least from the depths of the Spanish countryside, the latency of WebEx is impressive. On this slide, I suppose my comment is mainly the second bullet rather than the first bullet. There have been several comments on the list and in the documents that I have submitted. It is, from my point of view, absolutely unacceptable that the applicant can designate designate its application as being not relevant to the geographical use. That has to change. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. I see no other hands. Let's go to the next slide, please.
Javier, it's only Pablo's and Susan that have their hands up. Sam, that's
here. Very good.
And also,
I'd like to get to you. I'm on audio.
It's only 10 minutes left, so
yeah.
We have to take care of that. Yeah.
So, Pablo's, please.
Yes, my question is that, first of all, how we could comment on this diagram? Could we comment electronically, and what is the tools? I'm sorry, I don't know the tools. and all on the textual part, how we comment on the textual part. And in the previous slide text, I tend to agree with Christopher that it is not up to the applicant to decide whether the name is or is not geographic.
Thank you, Kavus. Thank you, Kavus.
Yeah.
On ways to comment on the slides, that was, I think, the suggestion also by Carlos Gutierrez early on. And of course, you can comment on the mail list, but Carlos suggested some technologies that were available for this. We're going to look into that, of course. That's what I can say right now. Susan, please.
Yeah, hi, thanks, it's Susan Payne. Normally I've been taking an approach where if people say things that I don't necessarily agree with, I haven't particularly been wading in and commenting on each situation. But I think we have to recognize that there are probably a lot of people who have been taking a similar approach to me. And there's a fundamental difference of opinion here. Which is that, you know, because there are multiple different meanings for names and many, many names which have a geographical connotation have multiple other connotations as well, be that they're dictionary terms or they're brand names or both. There absolutely is a situation where a name could be geographic in one context and not in another context. And so statements from Kavus and from Christopher that suggest that it's entirely down to a government or to, I'm not sure who, a community to decide that a name's geographic rather than the person who's applied for the string are simply unacceptable. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan, for that. I think Greg Shatton is next, please.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton. Susan said everything I was going to say. And so I just say I agree fully. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, for your brevity. So seeing the slide, I mean, I know this is pretty quick, but we can maybe move to the next slide, which goes into the detail of the circle part of this slide. Of course, these are the strings that are unavailable for registration by any party as per the ADB. This should not be controversial. This is reflected in the slide and in the previous slide. If there's no comments, I think Christopher, that's an all hand. Is it an all hand, Christopher? I think so.
Well, not really.
Go ahead.
I think Susan and Greg should explain the extent to which they regard these multiple plural interpretations of strings as relevant. I mean, for the sake of argument, I would say that existing brands and trademarks that correspond to existing geographical names should be grandfathered in one way or another if in agreement with the relevant geographical community. But to have an open-ended option for non-geographical use of geographical terms globally will bring ICANN into disrepute. I see where Susan and Greg are coming from, but I just want to put on record that I think this is most dangerous for ICANN's international credibility.
Thank you. If Susan and Greg want to quickly answer that, or we can move along. Or let's just go ahead.
This is Greg.
Hi, Susan. I was just going to say there seems to be a certain amount in the chat about this is not the time for this discussion, and that's one of the reasons why I've been reluctant to speak up, because it doesn't seem like it's the time for the discussion. But there are times when it feels like one needs to at least put a marker down that there are fundamental disagreements here. And you know, if we're going to talk about bringing ICANN into disrepute, then I think, you know, whole-scale ignoring fundamentals of international trademark law, which have been signed up to by most governments, also would bring ICANN into disrepute. We're not here to be recreating trademark law. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. So if we can move along to the next slide, please.
You have Steve with his hand up. You won't be able to see that where you are. Javier, just briefly go to Steve.
Go ahead, Steve, quickly, please.
Thanks, Javier. Thanks, Cheryl. This is Steve Chan from staff. And so I guess I just wanted to provide a basis and a reminder for why we wanted to go through the current process. And so why we were looking for feedback more about factual inaccuracies or whether or not something is clear or not in the way that's presented. So part of the reason why the co-lead saw that it would be useful to go through this existing process is firstly to provide a basis of understanding for what the current process from 2012 looks like. Secondly, one of the other benefits of looking at this current process is to help identify the specific issues that are problematic. I don't know whether or not this is the case, but there may be instances and parts of the process that are fine as is, but there may be areas that are specifically problematic that the work track may want to focus on more diligently. The other benefit was also to look at the various points within the process and recognize that there are maybe different ways to solve the issues, and as Jorge provided an example of one way that looking at the process provides inspiration for finding maybe creative ways to actually solve the issue. And so I think it's hoping to provide some of the nuance between some elements of the process where it's a preventive protection, which we're looking at right now in terms of the geographic names designations, but also there's elements later in the process where perhaps in the contract there can be protections through contractual measures or even post-delegation. So I guess I just want to remind everyone that the idea was to look at the current process. We weren't really looking to take suggestions on board now. That's obviously something that's going to be welcome later, but just to provide a basis for understanding, but also a room for inspiration for future ideas. Hopefully that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. So we see in this slide we have very few, not a lot of time left. In this slide we see the circled part. Let's go to the next slide for the detail of that. So in slide 17, these are the geo names that what it says here always require governmental support, non-objection. I would say as per DAG, will require governmental support, non-objection. And these are, of course, as we all know, representation in any language of the capital city name of any country or territory listed in ISO 3166, one exact match of subnational place names such as county, province, or state listed in ISO 3166-2, three, string listed as a UNESCO region or appearing on the composition of macro geographical continental regions, geographical subregions, and selected economic and other groupings. This is straight up the ADB. Any comments on this?
Do you see my hand?
We are at the top of the hour. We will be continuing on from where we are now. The leaders really need to look at the next meeting, and if you have an additional intervention on what has already been moved on from, please utilize the email list. I said that in chat. Javier, you need to wrap the call.
Yeah. So we're in slide 17. I think we're going to have to continue all these slides in the next call. If anybody... any other co-lead, maybe Annabeth wants to add something right now. Anybody else, please? Annabeth? Anybody else?
No, actually, it's Annabeth here. I think we should just ask if it's anything on any other business. If not, we just go on next week.
Very good.
And input are, of course, welcome on the mailing list during the week to come.
So if anybody wants to bring out any other business for today quickly, please do so now. I don't see any hands.
I think we just stop now. And since we have decided that we should have 1 hour, we are testing this out and see how it works. And then we talk next week.
Very good. So thanks to everybody. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Xavier, for leading the meeting.